This is Facing Fentanyl. Interviews with actual users.
That was my first encounter with fentanyl.
Their experiences.
My nose was to the steering wheel and I could barely stay awake.
But most importantly, the lessons leading them out.
I'm the only person in that picture that is still alive today.
Where they can speak of what it is to be facing fentanyl. Drug and alcohol use has increased exponentially during the epidemic and afterwards. Asking for help is not only a stigma, but it is hard to guide someone as they journey towards recovery and prevention. La Jolla Recovery is a science-based detox and rehab that for over a decade has offered tailored programs for those seeking relief from substance use disorders. For more information or questions regarding addiction, visit lajollarecovery.com. That's again, LAJOLLA recovery.com. And welcome to another episode of Facing Fentanyl with your host Gonzo D and our interviewee Dylan T. Thank you for joining us. We are in the middle of a street outside of a bar out. Yes, the irony of this, right? And we might talk about maybe alcohol and how it relates to opiates, but today the conversation is about fentanyl. We get to hear about it, mostly the dark, be careful. Advertisement is sometimes pathetic, kind of like, don't do it. And what we're going to do is take a trip to find out a little bit more of what there is behind every human being that has ever crossed roads with this and why not only it's very present today, and how it can happen to anyone, to destigmatize the fact of this is not happening to some, this is happening to many, and that there is a solution. The beauty is that we're gonna take a trip to a story. The most important thing is that the story is gonna be about hope. We're gonna bring it back to what's happening today because the person in front of me is glowing, eyes are crystal clear, your life is full, has meaning, and I want to thank you for being a part of this. Fentanyl, let's go pre-fentanyl. Tell me a little bit about growing up and the path that takes you to being into situations that I'm guessing if you go way back, this seems something like substance use seems so distant. Tell me about you growing up.
Well, growing up, I had a good childhood. You know, my parents aren't alcoholics or drug addicts. Like, they're good church-going people, you know. And I grew up on 5 acres. Like, we had a bunch of animals, you know, horses. And we just had I really had a great childhood. You know, parents used to take us camping every weekend, got into fishing, four-wheeling, you know, all these good things. I don't know. I wonder sometimes of how it all started, you know, because I didn't have any trauma. I didn't have these bad things that happened to me, you know. When I think about it, knowing, you know, I didn't know it then when I was growing up, but my dad specifically was very hard on me, you know, like be a good worker, take care of the animals, you know.
And so growing up on a farm is a 24/7 job. You can't just tell the animals or the crops to like, I'll be back. I got to take some time back. Like everybody needs to eat.
Oh yeah.
What type of, what were you taking care of?
Mainly harvesting. We didn't do any, you know, crops or anything like that. We just had horses.
Just horses?
Yeah, we had a horse stable. I don't even know. Probably like at least 20 horses.
20 horses?
Yeah, there was a lot. But, I definitely grew up with like, try to sit at the dinner table and my dad would look out the window and the horses are making noise. And he's like, you didn't feed? And I was like, no. And he's like, go feed those animals, you know. Those animals will eat before you eat.
How old were you?
I don't even know. I started feeding as soon as I could lift a flake of hay to be able to throw it into their feeders. So eight,
work
nine,
ethic.
Probably.
Which probably now, I mean, you hear about this. There's probably laws, right? I mean, we're laughing about it, but yeah.
Yeah, the way things are now. And looking back at it, like, I appreciate it. Like, it created this work ethic that I have today. And it's definitely helped me out, you know, in having a job and creating a life for my family now.
But the horses did get food. Had to get food.
Horses had to eat first. That was the rule.
Okay.
You know?
So it was hard on you.
Yeah, you just wanted me to do right, you know?
Were you one of...
Two. I have an older brother.
Older.
Yep. I'm 3 years older than me. And him and I were, you know, we grew up kind of in the middle of nowhere in Boise before all the houses. So it was just him and I, you know. We used to be so close when we were younger. No friends, right? It's just us. And I would say when we moved, we ended up selling our land. Moved. And that was probably the first experience of like having like neighborhood friends. And this was back in the 90s. So like...
So there wasn't a lot of socialization before... At the farm. So you grew up in the farm.
Yeah.
No neighbors.
No neighbors. No. We had, you know, a couple friends of like my dad's friends had kids. And so we had like some interaction there, but mainly it was just my brother and I.
And when did school start?
Like school went good for me. Like I've always been, you know, decent. I've never failed a class or anything.
No,
like
but
that.
When did school start? Meaning kind of, was it close to a school?
Or? Yeah, we were close to a school.
Okay.
Yeah, so I definitely, you know, went to school and...
How was that? Was it very similar? Would you say that your peers had similar backgrounds?
Like elementary school, it was all good. You know, I fit in. There was a huge shift for me when I hit middle school.
Middle school.
It was like... kind of like all my friends from elementary school, we all went to the same middle school, but there's some shift, you know, to where it's like we were no longer friends.
Tell me about that.
I don't know. I'm not sure what happened, you know. Maybe that's part of like getting older. We all decided to go different paths and I would say that I was lost. Like I didn't know. I knew friends in different groups, you know, like I'm very smart with math.
Yes.
I've always been good with numbers. So I always hung out with like dudes that were like, you know, like in high math classes. But then I hung out with guys that played basketball. And so I was always kind of been a floater. I just hung out with different
groups. You excelled scholastically. Was this back in the day when it was cool to be a nerd? Not cool.
No, not cool. I don't think it's really ever been cool to be a nerd, but...
I think now it is, yeah. Right? I think now it's
hey, the
like,
people that are, you know,
I don't know,
that are smart and like can yeah. excel.
But back then?
Back then it was the 90s, you know? That was that kind of phase of like everybody was listening to rap and
okay.
trying to be a gangster. And and I fell into
I'm
that.
Sorry, I'm laughing because it's like middle school. It doesn't sound, I'm sorry, I mean, there could be or were there, I'm, something tells me. Not a lot of gangs.
No, not in Boise.
But
no.
Like a front or yeah. like we trying listen. To be rough. But people are going through challenging things, right? You're like growing up.
Yeah, my mom used to look at me like I was kind of crazy because here we are like grew up with all these animals and stuff. But like I want to wear the South Pole pants and I'm like sagging them and I got the tall tee.
So it's hard for them to understand like what's happening because you're being exposed to music, to different ideas. Something tells me they probably didn't have this opportunity.
My parents definitely weren't sure what to think, you know. Instead of, you know...
Do you know a little bit about their background? Were they very open to your changes or they're very like, no.
My mom supported, has always supported me, you know. She's like, you want what? And I'm like, yeah, I want baggy pants. I'm going to sag them, you know.
This is how it goes. MC Hammer.
She always supported it.
You can't stop this.
Yeah. My parents have always been, I don't know, they just go with it, you know.
So middle school starts becoming a little uncomfortable, like where do I stand?
Yeah, definitely. Just kind of floated around trying to find my place, you know. And I think that's a huge kind of thing that took me into like high school is when I really started drinking and doing drugs And
tell me about the first time drink, because something tells me this is before legal age.
Yeah. Before we moved and we still had the farm, my brother and I would we met some girls through some friends, and so they'd come over and we used to try to be so cool and go through my parents' cabinet, and we'd take one shot. We never take more than one shot at a time.
Just one shot.
You're just trying to look good.
Just to make sure that he also didn't find out too, right?
Yeah.
Something tells me
you're just trying
enough,
to look cool.
But not enough that it's gonna be obvious.
Yeah.
Did the shot do it? Was it enough?
I didn't get drunk or anything, but it was enough to make me feel good, you know? They're like, oh, I'm a man, so to speak.
How did it feel? You're looking back on it. Did it have an impact on you?
It was gross.
Oh, it was gross.
I didn't like the taste.
But how about the feeling?
I like the feeling of being accepted.
Okay. So there's a lot of pressure around an environment.
Yeah. Definitely. I've always tried to find my place. Mm.
And then you said drugs. So you start having exposure to drugs. You have it at home. Did they ever catch you that the shots were starting to add up?
My parents, yeah, they found out, you know.
What did they say? What did they do?
My parents always kind of had this thing of if you're going to, you know, drink and make bad decisions,
do it at home. Do it at home.
Be at home.
Okay.
You know, and we definitely took advantage of that.
So your place was known as, we're going to be hanging out there because... As long as we don't leave.
We didn't. It was never parties or anything. It was always my brother and I and one other guy mainly. You know, just kind of be couple of us drinking, smoking some weed, you know, and.
Okay. So weed, this is illegal in Idaho. Did it ever cross the mind of there could be some consequences from the illegality of it?
Didn't even care.
Which makes it, I guess, cooler? Do you siphon, is there a filtering of the friends from the alcohol to the weed?
Oh yeah, definitely.
So it's a different type of group. Same group, same age?
When I was 14 is when I started smoking weed at school.
Okay.
And so then
how was there access? Was it at a parties, somebody's home?
I hung out with a guy that was in one of my classes and his dad smoked weed.
Okay.
And he knew some older guys, so they used to go pick it up on our lunch break.
And you were open to this? You weren't kind of like a little uncomfortable and gotta try this?
Yeah.
What was the experience?
It was good. You know, I liked it.
And again, the acceptance?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Social component meant a lot, being in a group.
Yeah, knowing now, right, from my journey in life, my need for acceptance has been a huge role that has, directed my entire life.
How were things at home at that age?
I was turning into a rebel.
At home?
You know?
Rebel.
I got my first charge when I was 14.
Charge of?
Misdemeanor paraphernalia.
Misdemeanor paraphernalia.
Yeah, for having a pot pipe. And
just for having the pipe?
Yeah. Yeah, I was 14.
That is...
I think for me, that just...
How was that for you?
It kind of... I even got more accepted, you know?
So people were like...
Yeah, they're like, so oh,
almost
you're
like a
criminal.
Badge of honor.
Yeah, it was like it, that kind of started my whole criminality.
So there was a positive reinforcement from it from a social standpoint.
Yeah.
How is that? Something tells me that from a brain perspective, you're kind of like, gosh, more friends or stronger connection with friends or more loyalty, more trust.
Felt cool.
Felt cool.
That's really what it comes down to. Made me cocky. Made me like, oh, I'm a badass because here I am getting charges at a young age, right? The insanity of it. But
looking back with current rules, you kind of think also, you know, I don't know. They don't talk about this, but it's always so good to have perspective. You're 14. What do they do? Slip in the wrist? Do they talk about it? Do they try to make you feel uncomfortable about it? Kind of wondering, what opportunities are there, do you think there are? When somebody's 14, it's very young, very impressive, very impressible.
I was just willing to do whatever it took to fit in.
So you were there.
I was.
The friends are like, bring it on, new badge of honor.
Yeah.
Higher in the ranks.
And I would say when I got my first charge is when I shifted groups. Because I used to, when I was just like smoking weed, I hung out with the guys that played hacky sack and like the little stoner group. And then like, by the time I was a sophomore, I started hanging out with like all the, you know, all the wannabe gangbangers that played basketball and were, you know, getting into trouble. And
what type of trouble?
Like stealing. And I didn't get
it. And not because there was a need. Something tells me was it that the adrenaline, anger, so. Taking out anger out on?
Probably a little bit of both.
You know, society.
Being able to do something and get away with it.
Okay.
You know, that feel of power.
Oh, is it also, again, in a social setting, kind of pushing boundaries and getting positive reinforcement from your social group?
Yeah, being reckless, you know, it's kind of like a
and at this age, you're already 16? You're still 14,
yeah, about 16. 15, 16, I would say.
So alcohol, cannabis.
Yeah. Yeah, that, let's put it this way. I started, you know, sensing that I was falling off the track, right? Mm. Of like drinking, partying, sneaking out. So where I actually told my parents that I wanted to graduate early as a junior. I was like, I want to do night school and do summer school so I can graduate.
Oh, wow.
Because if I go back my senior year, I was like, I won't make it.
Oh, wow.
You know, and they.
So you tell yourself, like, you know, you're not going to graduate.
I just had a feeling.
Studying extra to just finish early.
I just had a feeling.
What did they say to that?
They didn't understand.
Did they confront you when they were starting seeing you intoxicated or at least changing? Something tells me your attitude probably starts changing.
Oh, my attitude was bad.
Okay.
I was an asshole trying to fight with my dad physically.
Physically.
My mom used to get in between us and tell me to knock it off and now just talk smack.
Did you get too violent?
My dad and I never got physical.
No.
I tried.
Did you experience violence at home?
No.
No.
No, not at all. Nope, I would just push his buttons.
Verbal aggression?
Yeah, definitely. I would be an attacker.
Okay.
For sure. I was so caught up in my ego and of looking cool and being this person at school, this wannabe gangster, that I took that home. And I was just angry and don't tell me what to do. I'm going to do what I want and screw you. I don't need to follow your rules. Like,
so you start noticing the group of friends start changing.
Yeah, I was a rebel. It's crazy to think back on it, but
the rebel has company. It's not that of a rebel. You have friends. They're doing similar things.
Yeah.
Breaking the law, since you're doing with other people, doesn't seem so.
Yeah, no.
So far off.
It seemed like it was socially acceptable with the people that I was hanging out with.
How do you get from there to fentanyl?
We'd like to thank our sponsor, La Jolla Recovery, before getting back to our interview. La Jolla Recovery is an alcohol and drug treatment center in San Diego, providing evidence-based solutions to addiction for over 12 years. The pandemic has impacted mental health immensely, and if you're wondering whether a loved one or yourself might be using a substance beyond recreation or fun or social bonding, La Jolla Recovery wants to answer all your questions in a private and confidential manner at lajollarecovery.com. That's LAJOLLA recovery.com. That's again LAJOLLA recovery.com. Now back to our interview.
This podcast continues in the next episode.
This is Facing Fentanyl.